Good afternoon, Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. Acreage decisions may be shifting as planting season approaches. East River LLP owner Tim Hogarth is seeing farmers trim down their corn acres. The downturn in the ethanol industry is a big part of the decision.
I think we need to remember that in the U.S., the ethanol plants take almost 40% of our corn production. And if those boys aren't in production, then that's gonna be a big number that we got nowhere to go with that corn.
For Hogarth, wheat seed is in demand.
It was like a light switch, and not some interest. There has been a tremendous amount of interest. I've sold more wheat in the last 5 days than I almost did all year.
Reflecting on Thursday's USDA World Ag Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE, report, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo says USDA didn't give the sellers a reason to add to their positions.
When you look at wheat specifically, if you have a stronger Russian ruble, a weaker U.S. dollar, that does as much to me to counterbalance the wheat ending stocks number being higher as anything else out there can. So I think you do have that play in set up here with the holiday making a sentiment and momentum shift because of this report not really giving anything to the seller to add to his position.
Zuzulo says the corn and soybeans could have a story as well.
Yeah, we saw the world ending stocks of wheat jump up to 292 million tons. That was above the trade estimates. We saw the world-ending stocks of corn jump up to 303 million metric tons. That was above trade estimates. But by the same token, you've got a lot of information that is yet to come out in May by USDA, and we're probably looking at some more production cuts in corn, especially when it comes to the South American crop.
Demand concerns continue to weigh on market prices. Gulke Group President Jerry Gulke was watching the feed demand number in Thursday's supply and demand report.
Whether we could raise our feed usage, which was long overdue and being adjusted, I guess. If you remember last year, the government came up and asked, and the USDA came up with saying, wow, we're missing 350 million bushels roughly, and we must have used it somehow in feed or whatever. You know, and so that was kind of an adjustment, thinking that they missed their numbers and feed usage or disappearance, period.
Gulke thinks USDA has been off on the feed usage numbers since last fall.
This was in the September report, maybe, that they came up with that. It would have been nice for them to tell us in the beginning of January 1st of 2019 that, you know, you're going to be using 300 million bushels more than we thought, and your carryover is going to be a lot better than we thought. You do that up front, then you look at the market response, what it would have been in June when we had the drought the moisture problems where we couldn't get planted. We'd have been a lot higher.
How quickly the markets can recover from the coronavirus shutdown will depend on demand. E-Hedger market analyst Ryland Texter says rebuilding domestic demand will take some time.
Retail volumes are way down, just with ethanol margins, it's pretty terrible, you know, pretty much all around. So I hope we're trying to price in this demand situation that we're in, but we know that, hey, if things, we can get back to work in the next few months, you know, the damage will be done, and, you know, things will fire up. It may be a slow kind of slower situation than we are in. I think everybody's going to be operating with a certain degree of caution.
Texter says coronavirus will have a lasting impact on the social structure of the country.
We're trying to figure out what that's going to mean for prices, but, you know, corn definitely seems dependent on where we're going to be at for ethanol. Beans are pretty much tracking South America. Wheat could be following Russia and some of the potential weather disruptions that we could see in the plains and in the Delta over the next 2 weeks. So you're really throwing a lot at the markets right now, and I think it's just going to add to this turbulence and volatility that we've seen pretty much just everywhere.
U.S. Dairy Export Council President and CEO Tom Vilsack says the coronavirus pandemic is a gut punch for commodity prices across the board, especially for the U.S. dairy industry. At the beginning of 2020, Vilsack says there was a lot of momentum in dairy exports.
Our February numbers actually showed that dairy was exporting at a rate better than last year, and continued six consecutive months of positive growth, despite port issues and despite the onset of the virus. But we fully expect and anticipate, because of the virus and its impact on export markets, an impact, by the way, which is exactly the same as the impact it's had here in the U.S.
Before the pandemic, 15 to 16% of U.S. dairy production of milk solids were being placed into the export markets.
The first week of May, when we get the March numbers, that's when you'll see the significant reduction. Southeast Asia basically carried us in February. My guess is, with all of the troubles and challenges that Japan, Korea, Singapore have had during the month of February and March, and now a reoccurrence in some of those markets, we're going to continue to see lower numbers than before. But it'd be hard to, it will be hard to identify precisely how low they're going to go until we get the data.
With uncertain times and continued market volatility, some positives can come from this negative situation. That, according to National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Marty Smith, who shares this piece of advice.
Well, I would hope that everybody would focus back on their families, on their own health. Let's work together and let's fix some of the problems we have with our market system. Let's also be thankful that we are able to continue to produce beef. We're continuing to feed the world. And one of the good things that we've seen with this is just unprecedented demand for beef in the grocery stores. You know, with the restaurant shut down, people are fixing more beef at home. We're thankful for that, and that is good news to take away from this. Certainly shows the benefits of our beef checkoff.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're in tune with the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Dairy Management Incorporated is shifting its business plan. The Dairy Checkoff's leadership sent a letter to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue this week outlining changes, including a focus on four things: schools, hunger and food service, industry partnerships, and retail. DMI President Barb O'Brien speaks to the work being done to address pinches in the retail supply chain.
Whether that's happening in warehousing, retail warehousing, or in the workforce challenges that grocers are facing in getting product out of the warehouse into the store.
DMI CEO Tom Gallagher says there is still value in a farmer's dairy checkoff investment.
It's truly amazing to watch how little the, not just the dairy supply chain, but the entire supply chain is really connected to try to make these things, these connections, and make these things work with, whether it's McDonald's or a feeding bank. And so without us, those things aren't going to happen. Without us, there is not going to be the push to get more cheese on the pizza, where 25% of our cheese moves. And if we can get another percent or two, that's a big number.
The National Milk Producers Federation is asking USDA and the Labor Department to accept and approve H-2A visa applications from dairy farmers offering temporary immigrant farm worker employment up to 1 year. In a letter, Milk Producers Federation and CEO Jim Mulhern says the dairy sector is facing an ongoing labor crisis, and the coronavirus has only amplified the challenges. By making the temporary changes to the H-2A program, the dairy industry would get equal treatment with other livestock sectors.
Custom harvester crews are looking for help in preparation for the upcoming harvest season. U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated President Glenn Jansen says with the coronavirus pandemic, these times are unprecedented.
Some of the people from our southern borders are able to still get in and have been able to get in, and it depends on where you're at and what they're doing, and on any given day how they have to quarantine. A lot of them from Europe are simply not able to come in right now. Many of them where the U.S. has done a really good job of opening things up again as far as allowing video interviews and things like that, where they don't have to actually be there in person, has made that easier. It just depends a little bit on each particular country's rules and requirements, and everything's changing so fast.
Jansen says some crews are optimistic there could be more help arriving in May. In the meantime, harvesters are sourcing domestic help. However, it can take some time for domestic workers to get a CDL.
A lot of the states have closed down their licensing departments, and so you can't go get a either test for the written or drive for the driving part of a CDL. So that's become some states are worse than others. Nebraska, I know, because I'm dealing with it here, we can still do it, but we have only one or two places in the state that you can go to do it. There are some states that that have closed it down completely. Some of them are opened intermittently. Most states it can still be done, not all, but most states it can still be done, but it just takes a little more creativity than it used to, for sure.
NDSU Extension is hosting a dry bean production webinar. NDSU Carrington Research Extension Center agronomist Greg Indris says a variety of topics are on this virtual agenda.
So we do have six presentations prepared. They're all targeted at 20 minutes, and they cover quite an array of subjects, including a couple of agronomy subjects. And then also we'll move into soil and plant nutrition, disease management, weed management, and then a market update. A lot of things have changed since the end of January when we did the live meetings, and so it'll be interesting to hear Frame's discussion about what's new with the dry bean markets.
The webinar will be held Wednesday, April 15th.
And then they look in the left-hand margin or menus, and there'll be one on events. And if they click on that, well, then that'll give them instructions on pre-registering, which we would like people to do, but it isn't mandatory. And then there's also a place where they can actually click to participate in the actual webinar.
Again, that's in reference to the NDSU Carrington Research Extension Center website. Find out more there. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, this is a kind of a step outside of the COVID theme that we seem like we're in these days in a way. It's a look at some of our resources as a community and our outstanding scientists and teachers at some of our universities that help us do well in agriculture. And I interviewed Jay Goose, the soil scientist from NDSU, who has been so important for farmers in regard to iron chlorosis deficiency in soybeans and things across the years. But he's also been an amazing professor for a lot of our younger people going into agronomy and things and in their various careers. And Jay is kind of an interesting person in my life because he grew up in just east of Omaha in Iowa, and kind of went through the 70s, 80s whipsaw with the economic thing in those years, and became a graduate student at SDSU, where I knew him at South Dakota State University in Brookings in the 70s when I was in high school, met him. But then he has spent his career at NDSU as a soil scientist. And so it's sort of a look at, you know, what we have. He's coming to the age of retirement, but I think the COVID thing probably maybe hang out at NDSU for a couple more months this year, but he hopes to retire at the end of the year.
Sounds interesting, Mikkel. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Markets are closed today for the holiday weekend. It will reopen on Sunday. And taking a quick look at the farm calendar before we leave you this afternoon, North Dakota Stockmen's Association compiling a list of industry events and cattle sale changes and cancellations. The list, along with other coronavirus resources, are available on the association website. And a friendly reminder, check out the Red River Farm Network's farm calendar. It is packed with webinars through the end of April. That's at rrfn.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.